Welcome to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast. Stunning Stancy at your service. To my right, Rowdy Raf Camus, and returning to the podcast after a two-week break, Ravishing Romoran. Welcome back.
Thank you. Welcome. Welcome myself. I welcome myself.
Wow, that was weird. Yeah.
I welcome myself back to our podcast.
It's only been 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. I tried listening to the show. I listened to the first show while I was gone. And guys, listening to the show, I don't know how you can deal with Camus. I don't know how you can. Yes, no, I don't know how you can deal with listening to Camus' voice.
We do this like every now and then.
Yes.
When he has to go away.
Yeah.
I don't know how this one coming out now.
No, I mean, no. Jose, I kind of don't listen to the podcast anymore. We used to when it was first a thing, when we first started it. But now that, you know, we've been doing this for almost 3 years.
Almost.
How about you? I still listen to this because I edit this.
No, yeah, I know. Absolutely. Yes. But as the finished product, I don't listen to it now. And it was only after I was gone that I tried listening to it. And I should be listening to the one last week with Renzo. But I tried listening to it and, Camus, your voice is really grating. Huh? Don't you agree?
I'm not gonna shit on Camus.
Jesus Christ,
you're gonna shit
on
me.
I'm just saying that shit
right here.
Well, you know, Stan and I are so well modulated and everything. And then
Camus comes in.
Yeah, Camus comes in all shrill and nasally. I mean, it's weird. I don't know how you guys get to deal with it.
He's not the first podcaster.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No. He's not the worst. Camus is not the worst, after all.
He's not the first podcaster to sound like
that. Oh, yeah. He's not the first, and he's not the worst as well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Both. I'm just saying that. Come on. I just want to know. I'm legitimately curious to, you know, for all our listeners, how do you deal with listening to Camus? That's not the warm up, by the way.
This is where we're going.
I just wanted to ask that because I just thought of it while listening to the show, but I will get around to listening to Renzo's episode.
Hit us up on social media and tell me how shrill my voice is.
No.
You guys are shrill. It's just too high.
Yeah, it's just too fucking high, man. What the?
Do I sound like a girl?
No. It's not that. It's not that.
Because I've gotten that on the phone.
Really?
This week.
Like, miss? They gave you the miss
this
treatment?
Week they're like, miss? Punyeta.
Because you come in with this register and higher than the both of us. And it's your normal speaking. Yes, exactly. You're doing it right now.
Glass shattered.
Yes, glass shattered. Glass shattered. Cesaro looks like a bald panzer.
Chris Panzer, if you're listening to the show,
kick some faces, brother.
The haircut looks great.
Okay, warm up topic. Guys, have you noticed that now more than ever, DJ JMC is getting so much more exposure than he used to, you know, every Christmas? I mean, he gets exposure every Christmas. Yes, you're looking at the Rappler video of Jose Marie Chan and family.
And family, that's
right. Who also happen to have, you know, pot bellies for some reason.
Yumamantile from DJ JMC's hits.
Jesus.
And this is the Christmas episode. This is the Christmas season episode.
I don't know if you've noticed, but
DJ JMC.
Si Joma. Si Tita Joma. mas may exposure ngayon than in previous years, right?
Yeah, I think it's because he became a meme.
Yes, exactly. That's where I was going. Is it possible that we millennials who have been complaining of Jose Marie Chan songs every Christmas are also the same people responsible for making him a thing again in 2016?
I don't think he should be a thing anymore
beyond the usual, okay, he's in our Christmas playlist. He's in our Christmas rotations.
I'm not sure if it's because of the way millennials are or if it's just Jose Marie Chan as a whole, but I think it's things in general that millennials make fun of.
Take
Sandro Marcos, for example.
Today.
Yeah, Sandro Marcos today is someone we all will joke about because we're millennials and because we're exposed to shit on Twitter, diba?
But like, Rogue One is incredible when it has a parallelism to what your fucking family did to this country.
What I'm trying to say is, yes, I agree with what you said.
Thank you.
But what I'm trying to say is, if Sandro Marcos was this stupid back in, say, the 70s or 80s, I don't think it would be that big of a thing.
Hindi. And what I'm saying is, are we responsible for this? Yes, yes, we are we make fun of a lot of people via memes and social media commentary, but are we now responsible for, is this way that we are now to blame for Jose Mari Chan returning to prominence?
For him being so pervasive
now. Dude has a Rappler thing. Dude has a Uniqlo fucking endorsement.
He has on a Spotify ad for Uniqlo.
Yeah, when you talk about Coldplay in Manila, you'll think of, the Coldplay. There's this other meme. Crap, I actually don't remember it now. But there is this one meme that when you think about it, you go, Jose Mari Chan.
Yeah. And I'm saying that we should have left people should be leaving Jose Mari Chan alone if it weren't for us. So do you agree that we are to blame for this?
Yeah, I guess we can blame ourselves. Like, we brought this upon ourselves.
Okay, just quick aside. DJ JMC put out a new album last year.
He did.
Last year for Starbucks, specifically for Christmas.
Yeah.
So, you know how these things go. Michael Bublé only comes out with one every 3 years.
What?
Christmas album.
No, he's...
Christmas
album. That is not true.
Check his last Christmas
album.
Before this one?
Shut up. I am the fan here.
Go.
Michael Bublé's last Christmas album before Christmas in 2012 was a 2004 album.
Was that 2004?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Okay, so it's even further apart than I thought.
Yes. Okay. And he doesn't do the Christmas thing regularly. Anyway, his newest album is not a Christmas album.
So what's this crap that I'm hearing from my sister on Spotify that is his...
The new one?
The new stuff from him.
It's not a Christmas album.
It's not Christmas.
Yeah. Going back to Jose Mari Chan.
So his last serious album...
No, but his last album was last year, as you said.
No, last year. Okay, that's last year.
And about was it a Christmas album?
Or was it 25th anniversary Christmas edition?
It wasn't even you! It wasn't even you!
Of Christmas in Our Hearts? What?
Yes, that's the title. Christmas in Our Hearts, 25th anniversary edition.
It's a fucking remaster.
Okay, no. Maybe my... Okay.
The point is...
Wait, let me finish my point.
Sorry. All right.
These Christmas albums usually have a gestation period of about 3 years.
Fuck!
How long did it take before All I Want for Christmas Is You became a classic?
Mariah Carey's version. I don't know. It was always a classic.
Yeah, like it came out in 95. We were all kids. We were toddlers by then. So
I was aware of it.
It was already a staple in Christmas playlists.
When it hit its peak, like, oh my god, this is so annoying. Everyone is playing this.
I don't think it had that critical mass moment. You play it every year, and then it's nice. It's part of the Christmas canon. And nobody is ever annoyed by it the way
I am.
No,
I'm sick of it.
Are you really?
Really?
I am.
You know that there's an extra Christmassy version now?
Oh, really?
On Spotify.
I did not know this. But is it the most annoying Christmas song you hear every year?
Yes, absolutely. Really? Yeah.
Next to DJ JMC.
Yep. I would rank Mariah Carey higher on the annoying scale than Jose Mari Chan.
Interesting. I like All I Want for Christmas Is You.
I hate that song. Jeez. I could listen to Last Christmas over and over again.
Last Christmas is good. It's very
last
good,
Christmas
yes.
Good.
Yeah, all its versions. Like, the Carly Rae Jepsen is my favorite, actually.
Have you heard? Anyway, all I really wanted to ask is, do we blame ourselves for not leaving Jose Mari Chan all the way alone?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, props is people for taking advantage of it. But they took advantage of the meme. They wrote it. And look who's all happier. So, Jose Mari Chan's kids, who are all fat.
Yeah, Jesus. And kind of old.
Okay, you know, seriously, I wonder what the guy does 11 months of the year.
I have a question. Whoa.
I wonder what he does like the other 11 months
of the year. Oh, he plays Beautiful Girl. Yeah, well, he does. Anyway, the last new album I think he had on... was this thing that RJ loved to play like back in college?
RJ Ledesma?
No, yeah. Ramon Jacinto.
The radio station. What the fuck?
One in the same station.
Anyway, yes. Anyway, I have a question though. Sino yung girl na luna kumakanta sa yung kaduet niya sa Christmas in Our Hearts?
I don't know.
Yeah, but she made the song for me. Not DJ JMC. It was her. I liked the song when I was a kid because of her, not because of DJ JMC.
Lisa Chen.
Who is that?
Is that one of his wife or one of his kids? I don't know. I don't know, man.
Maybe his niece.
Chan?
Yeah, Lisa Chan.
Yes. That's the name.
All right, I guess. Anyway, we're talking about music today because it's a special music-themed episode of the SVP podcast. We haven't done this in about 2 years properly because last year's episode didn't get saved properly.
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
This was the long-lost episode.
Which was no one's fault.
Yeah.
Which was no one's fault.
Yeah, like 6 seconds. Only 6 seconds got saved, and then kaput.
But we did make up for it with the first TJP interview.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah we did.
There was that.
Yeah, we did. So
we gave you that.
What we're doing this week is we're not going to talk about Raw or SmackDown, even though, we haven't seen SmackDown yet. It's Tuesday night when we're recording this. What we're going to do is we're going to give you the top 10 new entrance themes of 2016.
Before we used to do, the last time we did this, actually, well, the last time you heard this, which was 2 years ago,
yep.
And the last time we did this was last year. What we used to do was we grouped the new songs that came out this year, the new theme songs, by bad, decent, and good, and great.
Yep.
And then there was that middle ground of forgettable.
That's decent, yes. That's decent.
Yeah. But with this year, with all the new talent coming into WWE and all the new songs that come with them, we just couldn't do that anymore in the interest of time.
And not just that, we also have to give props to Sifo Dollar Sign for actually not shitting the bed all year.
Because he did take over from Jimmy Johnson this year.
We
assume that there was a passing of the torch somewhere.
Mm.
But all of these entries are actually from him.
To be honest with you, all the entries this year are from him.
Because we also learned this year that they were a duo.
Well, we figured that out like last year.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what we're gonna do this year is we're gonna give you the top 10. We're gonna do this countdown style in descending order, and everything else. If we didn't mention them, it's because they just didn't stand out. They flatly didn't stand out. And if you really want to go through everything CFOs and WWE released in 2016, you can do it on Spotify.
Mm.
So do it on the web version and just search for CFOs and then scroll down. You'll see every song they released in 2016, probably except the James Ellsworth
track. They're not finished yet. They're not finished putting out all the new songs. I believe that the James Ellsworth song and who else?
Some of the other cruiserweights.
Yeah, some of the other cruiserweights. Jack Gallagher,
Jack Gallagher. If Neville's going to get a new song, it's probably going to get included by next week, given the heel turn. So that's as much as we'll say about that for now. So without further ado, let's give you the top 10 new entrance themes of 2016 in the WWE. And let's start off with number 10. Alright, at number 10 we got Austin Aries. It's entitled Ambition and Vision. I admit I wasn't really an Austin Aries fan heading into his WWE debut this year. So I'm not sure if it's something he used to say a lot, if it's one of his catchphrases or whatever.
What is it?
Ambition.
No. I mean, what is it, Kamas? Do you know?
I can't remember.
I just know that it. I first saw it on his T-shirt, on his first shirt, and then I saw it was the title of the song. I was like, okay, bagay, I guess.
I'm trying to remember if he used that much.
When it first came out, my initial thoughts about this song were, okay, this is kind of generic. The hook is something I could latch on to, but not for an extended period of time, if that makes any sense. It's not something I'd like to just listen to all day long, unlike some of the songs higher on this chart.
Why would you listen to a theme all day long?
Because you can.
Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn's theme song, you can listen to all day, every day. Because
Why would anyone do that?
I do that.
Because you can.
It's happy.
I would do the same for, say, the top 2 songs on our list. Spoiler alert.
Maybe. You sure, know.
Fine. No.
Because I have.
What is wrong with you people? Anyway.
Just Sami.
What I like about Ambition and Vision, because that's the name, I like. No, Kamus thinks that the intro is a bit drawn out. But I like it. That's the best part. The best part is the intro riff.
That whole intro there, before you hit the main part, you know, where the lights are all flashing and that effect thing. It's cute. It's nice. But then there's this joint with it once you cut into the main theme. Like, as he actually starts walking down.
Mm.
And that's my problem with it. That it's two different good
songs.
Things.
Songs, yes, yeah.
It's two different good things, but I can't shit on either.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure we said that about one of the new songs from last year. I can't remember which.
But I'm gonna. It's kind of a hallmark of CFOs' of their arrangement style. They start with this nice drop, and then like 10 seconds after that drop, they change into something else. So the themes don't sound the same from the beginning.
Like the Samoa Joe theme.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
There, that's one of the better examples. One. Yeah. Anyway.
No, but, well, the Samoa Joe theme sounds better now. The more you hear it.
The more you hear it. And if you don't listen to the original one, then you forget that ever happened.
They played
unlike some people.
You can't forget it in Toronto.
They played it in Toronto, which I spotted.
Was hilarious. No, we did because...
No, I just asked, what the fuck is playing?
They were apparently like, what the fuck is playing? Like, wait, that's the old song.
Yeah,
the one
that I loved.
Someone
fucked
up.
Which isn't so bad, but it's just like... This new Sinister version was so much better.
Hindi rin kasi bagay kasi heal na siya, di ba?
Oh, yan din.
There. Now let's move on to number 9, which is this track. Rich Swann's theme comes in at number 9, and what I like about this is it perfectly fits the Rich Swann character. He's funky, he likes to dance, he's happy-go-lucky, and it's everything you want.
He will shuck and jive for you.
Yeah, it's everything you want in a happy, dancy black dude.
It's great.
Wow. Happy, wow. Oh, shit, wow. Man. You know, I just said shuck and jive. Yeah. You went.
Saying hi to friend of the podcast, Chili Willy. anyway.
Who also likes to dance.
Yeah, he does.
In a past
life.
Yeah.
That was him before.
That was him before, actually.
That was.
God damn it, we are so racist.
No, you are so racist. I didn't say shit.
I just said shuck and jive.
Anyway, hi.
But yes, okay, wait.
Talking about
Rich Swann, the outlandish one.
All around the world. What's the name of the song?
Can You Handle This?
Can You Handle This?
No, it's Around the World.
Yeah, Around the World, yes.
Around the World is the name of the song, but...
Anyway,
Can You Handle This?
The problem I have with the song is it's great because it's one of... I've always said that I like the more upbeat songs whenever they're used as entrance themes. But you can tell that they had to rush this one to fit Rich Swann's...
personality.
No, not personality. WWE Raw debut.
Ah, yes.
And they ended up making a nice song, but...
It
could be better because they didn't use... the right elements. It to me right now, the song sounds like a poor man's version of whatever upbeat song on Bruno Mars' new album, right?
Wow.
No, seriously.
24 Karat?
Yes.
Okay.
Same feel, same...
Same vibe.
Same vibe they're going for, but the fact that they use, mostly synth, horns, a half-assed vocalist who may or may not be black... no, listen to him. He may or may not be black.
Yeah, and Sifo's has a habit of doing this. Because if you remember Carmela's theme when it first came out, it's a poor man's version of Fancy. So they do have a habit of taking existing songs and playing around with them. Nauna lang sila sa 24 Karat.
To be fair naman, Rich Swann's song doesn't sound like anything that I hear right now. It sounds like a James Brown song, but it's
without
not
it being James Brown.
Yeah,
per se.
it's not a direct plagiarism of another song like Carmella's song was.
Yeah.
So the problem is I just wish that they did.
They spent a bit more time.
Yeah, spent a bit more time, spent a bit more money, using an actual band, maybe a real horn section.
But I love the only thing that
it's great. It's great. No,
it
sure.
is. It is. It is. But one of the pluses of this song is just the fact that the catchphrase "Can you handle this?" actually works.
Yes, yeah.
With Rich Swann,
that's the saving grace of this song. The "Can you handle this?" part is so catchy.
No, and the audience has found a way to make the dueling chants. Can you handle this all night long? Can you handle this?
Because All Night Long was his old entrance theme.
Mm.
And the thing is,
in the indies,
All Night Long was Rich Swann.
Oh.
That was who he was, not the song. But he could go.
Yeah, because it's not like they would spend enough money on Rich Swann to get the Lionel Richie song. So yung ang maganda is they were able to, WWE Universe was able to co-opt it into the chants for Rich Swann. So there. So let's stick with the hip hop and get to song number 8, which stays within the same general vicinity.
Feel at home, time has passed and now I've grown. used to dream I'd have it all. Now it's mine, I won't let go.
Cedric Alexander's theme comes in at number 8, and this is one of the themes that really stood out once Alexander made his way to WWE programming.
Mm. It's one of those things wherein the vocals aren't nonsensical, they're not the chant, and it's just, it works. Feels right. It could be a fucking NXT theme song.
No, you know why? Because this is C4's version of an NBA hype commercial.
Yeah.
Hype commercial theme.
A 2K theme song.
No, not even a 2K theme song.
No, not a 2K theme song.
Yung
pang-playoffs.
Yeah, pa-playoffs. Pang-playoffs. Pang-video package.
Yeah, no, I get that. If you remember when they used Christina Aguilera's Spider for the 2004 playoffs, yes. It's the same vibe that we get from Alexander's theme.
And to be fair, I don't know what it is, but they managed to pull this off better than they did Rich Swan's song.
Yes, I will give them that.
No. I guess their forte is doing songs like this. They did this and Tino Sabatelli's theme song.
Yeah.
Which is not bad, but you can tell it's a white guy rapping.
Yeah,
white
trash. You can. Yes, not even white trash. It's just, it's a white guy rapping.
It's a white dude. I know. When white people rap.
Then again, it's not like, and Cedric Alexander himself said this, it's not like he's your stereotypical black dude. He actually said this on a Colt Cabana podcast on The Art of Wrestling.
No, he likes white rappers.
Kasi malumanay siyang tao, di ba? If you know Cedric Alexander from TV and if you've listened to him on podcasts, he's not, say, somebody like, he's not like a JTG or a Shad Gaspard in terms of personality.
They're not criminals.
Hey, Shad Gaspard is not a criminal.
He's a hero.
He's a hero. He thwarted a crime.
Shad Gaspard is a hero.
Yeah, so.
Shad the hero.
Take that, Vince McMahon. Take that. Right, now let's get to song number 7.
Stereotype.
I know, mas bayani pa si Shad kesa kay Marcos. Eh, no?
Wow! Alright, song number 7. There. Song number 7.
El Ídolo!
At number 7, we've got the theme song of Andrade Cien Almas, which is one of my favorites on this list, just because of how random the vocals are.
Wait, really?
Shout it out. No, it's not as random as you think until you realize how connected they are to Cien. So he shouts things like Tranquilo, La Sombra.
No. I mean,
all these other things.
Wait, that is why you like the song?
Yeah.
It's comical as fuck.
Yeah, because it's probably, so random.
And it's probably ACA himself.
No, I mean, like, the random shout-outs are why you like the song?
Yes.
No, okay.
For me, they are.
That's weird. Stan, but then the instrumentation on this track is on point.
The musicianship of this song is actually top-notch when you really sit down and listen to it and not just listen to all the L.I.J. Or the L.I. references.
L.I., yes. You don't have to remember. He is L.I.
The problem with C-Foes' songs, and it was also a problem with Johnson's instrumentation and arrangements and compositions, but you can tell talaga more than ever with C-Foes that there's a difference between themes that they really think about and put effort in as opposed to themes that they just, you know, pump out for the sake of pumping out for stars that may or may not be here by this time next year.
So you're saying Yes.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. A lot of the generic CWC themes, you know, Hugh Gulak, Tony Nese. You can listen to them and figure out now. Oh, hey, this, they don't know what they're doing with these guys, so they put out a rather generic creator wrestler track. So with and the disparity is more obvious when you listen to songs like Cien Almas' song. They actually use real jazz guitar. Well, not jazz guitar, but you know, dialed down steel guitar.
I'm actually looking at, so what you heard was some embedded video that played on the site with the lyrics to Cien's theme. I'm just looking at it. Kulang na lang talaga that he says Los Ingobernables or El Ingobernable, because everything is there.
Yeah, but that's not why the song is great. I mean, the song is great because yes, you hear subversive references.
Yes,
but
it's funny.
It's a really nice.
It's a piece
of music.
Well thought of,
out. It's a nice piece of music.
It's a very well thought out piece of music. It has effort. It does take a lot of effort to put that sort of arrangement together.
Mm.
And the percussive work is actually quite impressive.
The only problem though is that it doesn't always match Almas's character, but it's super suave. It's really cool. And
I dare say it's better than Realeza.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Realeza is still better.
Yeah.
I just think that if you wanted to really suit Almas's character, he has to act more suave. And he is getting there because he's really taking in the pretty boy douchebag character to a whole new level now that, you know, he's really owning up to it.
Yeah.
So there. That's it for number 7. Let's get to song number 6, which is something that I didn't realize I enjoyed until I heard it live here in Manila.
Come to Puerto Rico, the shining star of the Caribbean.
At number 6, you've got the theme song of The Shining Stars, Primo and Epico. And then, you know, when you see this on TV, especially when they get the jobber entrances now people don't give a shit about, you're like, eh, whatever, right? But when this song actually got to play out longer than a minute during WWE in Manila, I was like, this is actually a good song. It's something I would enjoy listening to if it played on Spotify.
Sure. I don't know what it is, though. I don't know if it's because generic rock and generic metal is, you know, generic white boy American rock or metal is really just boring, but WWE themes tend to do better when they play off of more ethnic genres.
Spanish,
Japanese, Chinese even. Anything that requires the composer to think out of the box or think thematically or go out of his comfort zone in what he usually writes, they end up hitting it out of the park.
I think one thing, one other thing I like about this this song, Shining Stars theme, is that it kind of takes you back to Carlito's own theme. Yes. Even though,
which is also a pretty good song.
It was a good song.
Even though hindi siya talaga pareho, you can see it's a spiritual successor. It's a spiritual successor of the song. It's got the same cool Caribbean cool.
just say it.
that you get stylistically from both tracks. So there.
Could you say it's a cousin of Carlito because they are?
No,
Primo is his brother.
Oh shit, brother nga pala, no?
Yes,
Jesus Christ. Camus.
Forget that.
Anyway, yes.
But there,
you sleep on this track because the Shining Stars are jobbers, but this is a great song.
It's something you should give a second listen to on Spotify. Give it a shot. Listen to it. Enjoy it.
All right, now we're halfway through our countdown, and the top 5 songs, they are definitely not slouches. So let's get to song number 5 and hope it gets you off your feet. At number 5, we find ourselves just going, no way,
Jose, no way, Jose.
See, this is what
I'm
talking
about.
Whenever they have to go out of the usual rock and metal compositions, they shine. And I'm glad to say that Sifo's is doing better than, I don't know, maybe even James Johnson when they do these things.
What's nice about this one is it reminds me of Adam Rose's theme. Remember how easy it was to just latch onto that theme and go, diba? So when you have a song that everyone can just sing along to, like Becky
and
Lynch's
dance,
theme, Sami Zayn's theme, it's just so much fun when you hear it in an arena full of people. That's what makes the No Way Jose fun, and that's why when I hear it, I automatically think fiesta.
It is a fiesta.
It's always fiesta time.
Yeah. When it's No Way Jose time.
I still wish Jose and Swan were a team for longer.
Oh, that would be fun. Because the chance that they had for that very short
run.
Yeah, plus they both dance.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that should be twice the fun. Yeah, because they both dance. All right, let's get to song number 4. And we hope that this gives you a very makabayan feel. Or not. At number four, you've got the theme of our boy, Kuya TJ. TJ Perkins. Well, I was trying to go for the fact that he's Pinoy, but obviously they took that out when he debuted on Raw.
Like, straight the only gamer. Straight gamer theme. It's better than Nintendo's.
No.
It's better than
Nintendo's. I wouldn't say that.
No, mas gusto pa rin yung lead up ng theme ni Nintendo.
Yeah, ako rin.
Mas maganda pa rin.
I like the fact that Nintendo's theme isn't full 8-bit.
Yes. And Nintendo's theme really, when you just listen to it, you can imagine a hero actually rising up and leveling up and then, you know, fighting, except he jobs out a lot. So.
But TJ's theme isn't slouch either, because it's really, well, it sounds different from anything you hear on WWE programming, and that already is a plus. And they do it well, even though it might not always suit TJ's actual entrance.
His actual entrance,
what he does when he comes out to the ring. But it's also another great piece of music.
It is.
What I want out of this theme is if it can have, like, say, a darker remix. Because we know that TJP is not going to stay babyface for long at this rate, the rate his character is going. Besides, he's getting kind of boring to watch as a face. So I want to see him turn heel, and I want to see how this theme evolves as TJP's character does as well. So there. Anything
super
else about
villain?
This?
Super villain mode down the road?
Mm. Yeah, puede. Yeah.
Remix, yeah.
Or you know, something brooding like what the Elite Force music is on every Pokemon soundtrack.
Another comment to make on C4's compositions. They really excelled in making themes that sound like video game music.
Yes.
Not just, you know, straight 8-bit music like TJ's theme, but music that, you know, generic rock and metal that
you can imagine
do actually sound like they are, you know, they play in RPGs and boss battles and shit.
Na parang, it's like, oh, this is a segment in a field in Final Fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. This is stuff a Final Fantasy boss fight. Or for, I think it was Oni Lorcan's theme. Or Drew Gulak's
theme. I think it was Gulak's that when we listened to it in the car, it's like, this could be in Pokemon. Diba?
Yeah, so madaling sabi, if you're a game publisher and if you need someone to design your soundtrack or
call
to
Sifo.
Write your soundtrack, yeah, call Sifo. All right, guys, we are down to our top three, and these three songs are the heavy hitters from this year alone. So let's get to song number three, which can only be described by this one word: phenomenal. And obviously at number three, you got the theme of AJ Styles, which just got everybody marking out from the moment we heard it at the Rumble.
Feeling ko marami magagalit na number three lang tong kantante.
No, because the thing is, one and two are so
fucking
good.
Now that you know what number three is, we know that you know what number one and two is. And you know that, we know that you know that these two songs, or these three songs, were going to be the top three. I think at this point, fans can say that the top three songs are interchangeable. But we do think that this song, the phenomenal song, is only number three. Because at the end of the day, it's catchy, it's badass, but it's also kind of stupid, repetitive lyrics.
They don't want none.
I'm a southern boy with the farmer strength. Ain't nobody man enough to... What is that?
Let's just pull it up.
Pull it up. Ain't nobody man enough to feel my pain? Is that what it is? I can't remember.
Yeah, it hindi siya ganoon memorable kasi bulol din yung nag-rap eh.
No, it's fine. It's southern rap, it's southern hip hop, there's much to be said about southern hip hop with the drawl. It's part of the aesthetic of southern hip hop.
Blue collar boys.
No, we some southern boys with a farmer strength. Ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain, and you could be next. You better give respect, because ain't nobody breaking this red.
First of all, that's a simple ass rap. Yes. Second of all, they repeat that verse all this the whole song, and that's another problem with CFOs. They tend to
get repetitive.
They tend to get repetitive. You'll see that in the number two song as well. But whenever they have to write up lyrics for themes that they feel can be carried by the beat and the rest of the music, they will resort to, you know, falling back on repetitive lyrics.
What's funny is when we first heard this, we thought that WWE actually went out of their way to get Ain't No Sunshine by DMX.
It was so close.
That's what they copied.
That is
what they copied.
So it's a poor man's Ain't No Sunshine
at
this point.
Pero
Which goes back to Sifo's tendencies nga. Mm. Right?
But ayan, ayan lang talaga na it fits for AJ. It works as a piece of, you know, as an isolated piece of music.
Works for him as a heel. Works for him as a heel.
Works for him as a face. Works for him as that drop and then the fireworks. Works for him there too. It works.
And they also have that hip hop on it. That hip hop backbeat. Yep. And you hear that everywhere. In most hip hop songs. Most R&B songs.
Now there's always that backing element to it. But, and you know, it's just
as a theme it works, but as a piece of music it's not the best.
Yes,
it definitely isn't, and that's why it's only number 3 on our rankings for this year. So without further ado, let's get to song number 2. Glorious. No, I won't give in till I'm victorious, and I will defend. If you've attended a Comedy Manila show recently and you've waited for Red Oliero to make his entrance and you find yourself singing along to this song, that is a testament to how much of an earworm this track is.
Okay, for sure, may magagalit ang number 2 itong kantang to.
But number 1 is just...
Yeah, now at this point, number 1 and 2 are interchangeable, but I'm sure that someone will message us saying that we got it wrong.
No. No, we did not.
And we always get this shit every year. We always get some smart ass who tells us that our judgment is wrong. But if you really think that this song should be at number 1, start your own fucking podcast and make your own fucking rankings. Because these are
our rankings.
And even though Glorious nomination is glorious, we have to deduct some points for only having one set of lyrics
that
go over and over again.
And as repetitive as it gets, and as good and as much fun as it is for the audiences at Full Sail and wherever the fuck they are touring, it is not great lyrics.
They're not great.
That is the
they
only
are
not,
not great
they
lyrics.
They are not great
but
lyrics.
The only saving grace for this song, for the song's lyrics, is that they're fun to sing.
Yeah.
They're fun to chant. And it's so campy. Yeah.
It's so campy. Now, whether or not Bobby Roode is a face, you just find yourself singing along because it's so fun. And it's more fun the more people get into it because you get to simulate the whole choir feel, I guess. Right? So,
The difference between this song and Phenomenal, which both have the same set of lyrics going over and over, is that, at least for this one, you can have fun with how campy it is.
Yeah. Yes. And I think Bobby Roode is very well aware, both the character and the person.
Yeah.
So, you know, they just milk it for what it's worth.
Whereas for AJ's song, kasi may talagang they're going for the angas.
Oh. And, you know, a testament to how campy this is we got Glorious Bombs this year.
Oh, yeah, we did.
From DIY. Yes. And that was so much fun in itself.
Yeah, it became a meme, right?
For a quick period of time, yes.
But here's why Glorious Domination ends up at number 2.
So, just one last note on Glorious Domination. The fact that you get Queen vibes, Eric Mays vibes on this song. Brian Mays vibes on this song is just... As a fan of Queen...
Oh, that is great.
It is great.
Yes.
And the arrangement really feels like orchestral rock done right.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes people try hard to get this, but they got it right here.
If you've seen the video of the Sifos making this song, it's really just a bunch of... It's really just four guys singing the main vocal lines.
And they're really just fucking around.
Layering over and over.
Yeah, nanggagago lang sila. When you make the video, you can see that they're just really having a lot of fun messing around. So I guess you have that going for it. But going back, the fact that it's a meme and it's not a song you can really take seriously is what deducts points from it ultimately, and why this next song is at number 1. At number 1 is a song that needs no introduction. It's The Rising Sun, the theme of Shinsuke Nakamura. It's so awesome that it's got two versions. One that features the violinist who appeared with him at Takeover Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Right? So,
which is worth a listen in itself, but good God, this is theme of the year.
Theme of the year.
Hands down. None.
I believe it's The Rising Sun and Glorious Domination were the only two songs that debuted this year where people fell in love with them from the first note.
Yep.
Oh so, my god, Nakamura.
Yeah, Nakamura and Rui. It just so happens that Nakamura's song is really the better song.
It's funny how there were a lot of New Japan fans who were like, I don't think Nakamura can have a song that tops Subconscious. Like
because Subconscious was so iconic.
Yeah, it was.
In New Japan lore. Because that was that song was like so good for so long.
Mm-hmm. So it's the same status as the game for Triple H.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say. I would say so. That it just evoked feelings from first note.
And this is what I'm saying when I tell you that you can spot a song that Sifo's really thinks
in love
about.
With.
No, that they really think about other than as opposed to songs that they just pump out for the sake of pumping out.
I think it also says a lot about where WWE views these guys, Nakamura, Bobby Roode, AJ Styles, diba? Kasi hindi naman nila pag-aaksayan ng panahon yung mga, yun nga, like the Oni Lorcans of the world. And
not to say that Oni is a chump, but he is a chump.
It reflects in the music, it reflects on the way that CFOs put in the effort and the time to make sure that these entrance themes were really worth listening to. Mm. And The Rising Sun is a song I can just listen to over and over again.
Oh yes.
Nonstop. And that's one of the reasons why you can actually put it at number one. I think the fact that it doesn't have lyrics either is also fitting.
Absolutely.
Because for one, the strings just make up for it.
Oh, yes.
They exist fine on their own. Second, it's not like Nakamura talks a lot then.
Mm-hmm.
He's a man of few words. And, you know, sometimes you just need a song that doesn't have any words. Like the Undertaker's theme. It's so iconic on its own.
Dead Man Walking.
Without the need for lyrics and for words. It's the same for The Rising Sun. You get that done. And you get the mystique. You get the regality or the regalia. And you get every bit of class that's supposed to be associated with Shinsuke Nakamura as a member of wrestling royalty.
Wow, wrestling royalty.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
No, it's true, it's true. The instrumentation here, kasi, is just on point on so many levels. Na parang they chose a violin as the main instrument. And it's one of those, you know, underutilized instruments in wrestling. But when they do it right, and they go as far with the instrument as they do in this track, na parang it's not just classical strings a la
Daniel Bryan's
Valkyries.
Hmm.
Now that was a good song and a violin, but this one was exploring the instrument to a degree that you haven't really seen in wrestling lore.
And of course, exploring the instrument in a way that you call back to Nakamura's Japanese roots, but not necessarily exoticizing and over relying on tropes of Japanese music.
Yeah, if you need examples of those, look no further than Tajiri, Kenzo Suzuki, Taka Michinoku, basically every other Japanese guy that came in before Nakamura and Asuka.
To be fair, those Japanese sounding themes, because they aren't bad, but you know, sometimes they become more stereotypical. Okay,
very
Japanese
stereotypical.
Japanese person needs Japanese instruments, right?
Needs a koto here. And
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so there you have it. The Rising Sun, Shinsuke Nakamura's theme, officially the number one best new entrance theme for 2016, according to the SGP podcast. Again, if you have problems, you can let us know on the Twitter. It's at @_Stancy, @CavemanCamus, @RoeIsWar, or @TheSGPPodcast. Or if you have such a huge, huge problem, you can go fuck yourself and start your own podcast with your own
ranking. Wow, we're going there tonight.
Wow. Ooh, someone's mad.
All right, so we're down to our last couple of episodes before the year officially ends. This is actually the second to the last episode. Next week, what we're going to do is the annual SGP Podcast Awards.
Yes.
I'm not going to be here for that, though.
What's nice about the awards that we dole out is, unlike the Slammies, which aren't around this year, by the way.
Oh, no,
that's what was missing. I was like,
there are no Slammies this year.
Shit,
our awards
balls.
Are actually well thought of.
Mm. Wow, wait. No Slammies.
I'm glad I got to shatter that glass for you guys.
Oh, wow, damn.
Anyway, so
not
yeah.
Not even in Jan, can you?
Nope. They never do it in January. It's always December. It's always like one of the last December episodes.
That's true. So, no, actually one of the first December episodes.
Maybe they might do it on the network?
No, kasi masyado silang nagpa-pay-per-view na, diba? Plus, with the brand split, it's not like they're gonna bring everyone together again just 1 month after Survivor Series. So logistically, I think they were considering that. Anyway, that's what you can expect next week on the podcast. So we're going to be ending this right now. It's going to be a relatively short episode, but we hope you enjoyed listening to all these themes and just going over them with us. And again, for more details on whatever we talked about, you can always hit us up online. So on behalf of Rowdy Raf Camus and the returning Ravishing Ro Moran, my name is Stunning Stancy, and this is the year-end award show, or sorry, the year-end countdown in the books.
For 2016. Glorious!